Hey guys, this is OVW Superstar Dimes, and you are listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Life Radio. My name is Matt Sin, and I'm here today with, first of all, B-Dubs, my beautiful wife, Carol. Say hi.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Don't look at me like, what am I supposed to say? And Micah and Kyle and Riley could not be here today. So we have two very special guests, two former indie focus dudes, and they are tag team partners, they are brothers, and they are twins. We have the Nightmare Syndicate, Aiden and Alex Knight. What's up, dudes?
Howdy, howdy.
What's up, what's up?
How y'all I doing? Appreciate the fact that you let me, like, say hi first. That out the womb first, so I get to say hi first. It's just I respect it. I respect it.
Right, well, you know, hey. Like older brothers got to stick together, dude. That's the way it works.
Right. He introduced you first. I figured, you know, it's polite.
Alex is taking a step back. He's like, it's cool, man. No big deal. He let you come out of the womb first, so now he's letting you speak first.
That's actually right. A really funny story for another time, but that is a really funny story about the whole who got out first.
Okay, now I have to hear it. Is it a? I kind of want to know now. I feel like it's podcast worthy.
I could hit it short. So we actually both hit the birth canal at the same time, and the doctor that was actually delivering us had to physically hold one of us back, and just by luck of the draw, Alex ended up being the one that was held back. But yeah, we actually both hit the birth canal at the exact same time. We're both coming at the exact same time.
Ouch.
That has to be super rare, right?
Yeah, and not only that, Alex, if I remember correctly, your water sack hadn't actually broken.
Yeah, I came out water balloon and all.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yes.
That's actually why they held him back, is because his water had not broken.
Came out swimming.
Try to give it a chance for it to yeah, didn't happen, so.
That is crazy. A story.
Yeah. It is a story.
Crazy.
Huh. All right, well, on to wrestling, I guess.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, AEW, I don't know how to, there's no way to transition from dual birth canal births to All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing. Riho is like a baby. She's very small. But speaking of Riho, the buy-in.
I don't know. That was bad.
What do you mean to do?
That was the best segue you could have given it.
See? Aiden's like, no, I got you, man. It's great. Okay. It's great. So the buy-in happened. It was a thing. We were there. It was good. We took lots of friends. Riho versus Serena Deeb. Now, you guys are wrestlers, and I want to know your opinions on this, but personally, I thought it was one of the best pre-show matches I've ever seen. And I actually thought, like, it was definitely worthy enough to be on the main card. That Alex, like, why don't you tell me your thoughts? We'll let you go first this time.
I would definitely agree to that. That was honestly a selling point for me to sit down and really invest in a lot of these women is the quality of work that they're putting out.
Yeah.
And by far... that was, yeah, by far one of the best matches I had seen. Just technicality. They were smooth in everything they did. And that pin attempt by Rio, like how Serena kicked out of that, where she slid under her legs and flipped up. And yeah, like, I mean, just seeing like cool, unique stuff like that out of them, I think is really eye-catching. But at the same time, putting that out there for free, who knows how many people just saw the buy-in and jumped in from watching a high quality match like that.
Yeah.
So I'd see the value in having them on early, but yeah, it very well could have fit in the main card and would not have felt out of place.
AEW generally does a really good job of taking a match on the buy-in, and maybe it doesn't have like a really big story. Like I think their story was, oh, Serena beat her in the tournament, so they're just kind of having a rematch. But they do a very good job of just putting a banger match on the buy-in. They always do that, and I say always, pretty much always. And I thought it was one of the matches of the night. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. Now, do you agree, Aiden? Like, was it your cup of tea?
Yeah, no, most definitely. But I've always had this feeling when it comes to the sort of kickoff match or buy-in or the pre-show match. It always feels like, to me, I see those matches and then I watch the full show and I'm like, wow, you could have had this match on the main card and it would have shown so much better than some of the other matches that were on right there. But I feel that way with a lot of kickoff matches. I feel that way. It's kind of the whole college football versus NFL, like, right, like they try harder. And I feel like, especially in the wrestling sense, like those pre-shows, those pre-show matches are, they're almost like they're trying harder because they're like, oh, you didn't want to put us on the main card? Okay, we're going to show you why we should have been on the main card.
Yeah, I get
so
that.
So 100% agree with that.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to the actual show. Actually, let's talk about Riho's pop first. So Riho was the first person to come out on the live show, essentially. And her pop was absolutely insane. Like, she had a big pop for her music. And then the pop that she got stepping through the curtain was just absolutely insane, don't you think?
Yeah, people were definitely happy to see her. And it was so cool to be with such a big crowd. We haven't been with such a big crowd in mm-hmm. over a year. So for that to be, she was the first person to come out to that crowd.
Right.
So that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think we observed, like, you made a point the other day of how many more women are watching AEW wrestling now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Than in the past, like the yeah. percentage of women viewers at AEW, it's like mm-hmm. really grown a lot. And I think that speaks a lot to what they have to offer.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're taking their women's division seriously and growing, and you're seeing a lot of growth in the ring and on the mic. And it was a big moment.
Yeah, I agree. So Brian Cage versus Hangman Page opened the show. And Paige got one of the biggest pops of the night, of course. Brian Cage comes out looking like the friggin' Terminator. Like, it was so freaking cool. This match effing ruled. It was so awesome. There were so many cool spots. There was a spot in this match where Brian Cage is going to do the flip lariat, was it called?
The buckshot.
Yeah, the buckshot lariat. So he flips over. He gets caught by Hangman Page, who does the F5, which is one of Brian Cage's finishers. Brian Cage had an F5 that he did from the top rope onto Hangman. I thought he was going to die. Hangman did his regular moonsault. And, of course, Brian Cage is huge and is going to catch him easily. It just looks so beautiful. And I don't know if I'm biased because it was the first full thing back with crowds. And, my gosh, was this crowd on fire all night. Like, did it come off okay on TV? I think it did.
I definitely think it did. I mean, naturally, with having been there before, even with a small crowd, it's hard to translate that exact feeling of like the entire building shaking and the roof feeling like it's about to blow off.
Yeah.
But you can still get those vibes through the TV, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, things similar, like, you know, we'll talk about it later, but like, you know, the end of the show, you know, like crowd moments like that.
Yeah.
Those sort of translate well, but the pops, sometimes I think they sort of get lost because you don't quite get the volume.
Right.
You know, everything's sort of evened out for TV purposes, for audio purposes, for TV. So.
I gotcha. I see I smell what you're stepping in, Alex. Speaking of stepping in, we've got cowboy stuff.
No,
yeah? No? Mm-hmm. It was bad.
It's bad.
That's fine. Aiden, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was great. And I absolutely agree that, you know, it definitely wasn't just that, like, yeah, I'm sure the live crowd energy, like, really helped feed into how this match was.
Yeah.
But even watching it from TV, it was still, it's one thing you don't really see a whole lot anymore is the stealing finishers. And mm-hmm. seeing that happen was really cool.
Yeah.
just because I feel like it really, I don't know, it's just such a cool thing. I don't know why people don't do it, because, I mean, if you think about the idea of, you know, this move is devastating. I've taken it from this guy. This move is devastating. Why would you not, if you had the capability to try and do it, why would you not try to do it? So the psychology is really solid on, you know, stealing a finisher.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, I think, you know, what Alex said, because I haven't gotten the chance to actually go to an AEW show live yet. But I can understand from going years ago to Impact shows.
Yeah.
And just how that live crowd really feeds into those really cool moments. But yeah, no, this match was just clean.
Yeah. Just
really, really clean. One thing that did, I was kind of like really took by was Brian Cage doing the, when they come out to try to interject into the match, and they toss
Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks and Hook, yeah.
Throws it and it's just like, nah, I'm not going to do this. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. Like, I was expecting full well for him to get that belt tossed to him and for him to just go to town.
Yeah.
And for him to just be like, nope, not going to do it. It was like, that was really cool. Especially with that specific moment leading into the finish, was just like, okay, so you're doing that long term storytelling. You're building into that next thing,
right?
And I like that.
I do too. And when we were there live, like, I think we actually expected it a little bit because of what he and Hangman did on the Dynamite before. So, like, tell me, honey, what, like, because I know this meant a lot to you. So when Brian Cage tossed the belt back to Ricky Starks, and then Hangman got the finish on him, and then he basically shoved Ricky and Hook and walked away.
Yeah, I was very excited to see it because I've been kind of hinting at it a little bit, so I was hoping that they would pay that off.
Yeah.
You know, that Brian Cage is getting a little bit, maybe, I don't know if he's getting tired of the group or if he wants to, you know, he wants to win straight and not dirty. And so I don't know, they haven't really given us his motivation.
Yeah.
But the fact that they've been hinting at this possibly building up and then having a moment like this, the fact that they paid it off was very exciting to me. I really appreciated that.
And you mentioned that it almost parallels Hangman, because Hangman felt like he was out of place with the Elite. Now Brian Cage seems like he's out of place with Team Taz.
Exactly. So now they can be buddies. I'm very excited.
Page and Cage.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The match rocked. The match ruled. Like, you're going to hear that a lot on the show. Moxley comes out with Eddie Kingston to Wild Thing, the good one, not the original Trogs version, which is good. It's not good for a wrestling show. Oh my gosh. The roof blew off the place. I think Eddie got as big or bigger of a pop than Mox, which was super, super weird to see.
Yeah, people were chanting Eddie a lot.
This guy is over.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh. And Mox is, you know, one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling, so it's really cool to see Eddie get his due after almost two decades.
I mean, he's worked so hard this last year and a half with no crowds and very limited crowds. So for that justice to kind of come out for him and for him to get that kind of pop, I definitely feel was justified. And I mean, dude hit a suicide dive during the brawl before the bell even rang. So you know what I mean? Like, he deserved every bit of that.
Yeah. It's one of the fastest suicide dives I've ever seen. I think you pointed that out too, honey. Like, he just
went
straight through the ropes. It was insane.
Well, yes, that was something. As far as the pop was something I was going to say, is that, like, because from my memory, you know, I didn't think Eddie had worked in front of that full crowd yet. So it was absolutely that really good feel good of, like, you've earned it. You know, like, that's probably the biggest crowd he's ever performed in front of. And just, it's like, he earned every bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did. I think it has to be, right? Because he's wrestled a little bit for Impact, but I don't I mean, it has to be.
Impact don't fill places like that.
I know. It's crazy, yeah. This match ruled. Mox and Eddie absolutely destroyed the Young Bucks. Before the match started, they just killed them. There were some spots with the shoes. Mox and Eddie, being the baby faces, still cheated, but it was great. My favorite part of the match, and you can call me Mark if you want, my favorite part of the match was when Mox was laying with his back on the ground and Matt and Nick do the shield pose. And then they mock Roman Reigns and they're about to pick Mox up for the powerbomb. I just love little things like that. And I know a lot of people don't like it. I'm sure there's people listening right now going, why didn't you like that? I hated it. It was the only part of the match I didn't like. But I freaking loved it. I love callbacks to people's past, whether it's WWE or some indie promotion or Impact, AEW, whatever. I loved it. And,
yeah, because it's part of their career. Like, yeah, I pop big. Why would you not, you know, why exactly. would you not play off of things like that? It's free material. Like, it's free stuff to work with. Absolutely.
There were so many spots in this match. Like, there's no way I can go over them all. There's one spot where Mox has Nick in the choke and he's laying on his back with Nick on top of him. Matt was on top of him. Nick gets up on the turnbuckle. Matt rolls out of it, and as he's rolling out, Nick is doing a 450 and lands on Mox. There's so many spots in this match that was just so good. I can't tell them all to you, but
I don't know. I was super excited watching the Young Bucks pull stuff out that they haven't done in a really long time, like super kicks and Meltzer drivers.
Yeah,
you know, you never see the Young Bucks do those things anymore.
I know. I mean, it's so cool to see. Matter of fact, we took one of our buddies that hasn't seen an AEW show yet, and after the show, he's like, that was awesome, but boy, AEW loves their super kicks, right? And I'm like, yeah, they absolutely do.
It almost, like, don't get me wrong, I am a fan of the super kick. Absolutely am. But there gets to a point where you do certain moves so frequently that they really just lose that edge.
That's fair.
You know, it's like I do a corner cannonball, and if I literally had somebody sit in a corner while I literally ran across the ring and hit that corner cannonball 10 times over, yeah, the first time I'm going to get a pop off of it, but by the third, fourth time, we're going to be over it. And I definitely feel like, I don't know, I think that's the one gripe I have about the Bucks, is that they have certain things that they just do so repetitively that it just I end up being like, I don't know, bored of it.
Okay. What do you think, Alex? Do you agree?
I think when it comes to certain moves, and this is kind of a gripe that I have with AEW just having matches the lengths that they do because of the amount of moves that you do.
Right.
When I've seen, for instance, the super kick get used a lot as just a regular strike, and then see someone, for instance, use it as a finisher.
Right.
It makes me think one of two things. Either A, the people who previously executed the move multiple times in the match and still won by the skin of their teeth weren't executing the move very well. Or party B executed a super kick against somebody who was garbage because they just hit him with a regular strike.
Right.
So I think no matter which way you go, using certain things that are designed as a finish, just take away the value of that.
Okay.
And, you know, like if I see somebody get hit with a choke slam earlier in the night, seeing somebody try to use it as a finish later, you know what I mean? It takes away from one of the two.
You better do something insane with that choke slam.
Right.
Really, right. You have to do something to step it up to really make it feel like a finish now, because somebody's just done it as a regular move. So I think, yeah, it's just the repetition of things, I feel, take away their value, especially if you're trying to cement them as a big move or something that can put somebody out for the rest of the match or the night for that matter.
And that's absolutely fair. So let me ask you, did you guys enjoy the match?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that's the thing, is it's like, do I enjoy it? Absolutely. Do I think that it's the, you know, the top tier echelon of professional wrestling? No. But it's okay. It's entertaining. It's kind of like I said, you know, I did a spot a couple months back where we set up, it was a guy's birthday, and I chopped him, gave him birthday chops. And it's like, while that was a really cool spot and the crowd really enjoyed it, like, there is so much, you know, there's something more that could have been done as to make it feel more wrestling. I think that's where you kind of have to look at things in different ways. It's like, is the match entertaining as an entertainment standpoint, or is it entertaining as a wrestling match? Like, okay. Like Cage and Page, entertaining wrestling match.
Yeah.
This match was an entertaining entertainment match.
Okay.
I hope that makes sense.
No, I get it. That's a fair point. Alex, same feeling?
Yeah. I enjoyed it probably about the first, I lose track of time sometimes with the matches because they seem to go on and on and on and on.
Right.
Which, I mean, props to those guys for being able to go and go and go. Like I've said a million times, I wish my cardio would let me go 45 minutes and do the stuff that they do come the 44th minute. But I enjoyed it for the entertainment value. Some of the things that they put together, I thought were fantastic. The Dwarves Day device was enjoyable for me. I enjoyed the match as a whole.
Okay, cool. Young Bucks won by hitting the BTE trigger four times.
I think it was that.
Yeah, they absolutely killed him. And like Carol, you said that you thought it was a little, what's the word you used?
Much.
Not this one.
No, yes, you did. You said it was a little underwhelming, the finish.
This one?
Yeah, because you said it was a little because of that's what you told me. That. Okay.
I don't like I probably was unimpressed with anything they did.
I could probably pick that up though. Just with the amount of high spots and things that you saw.
Sure.
There was a part of me that was like, this is gonna end with a roll up. Now while this wasn't exactly a roll up finish, it still sort of had that anticlimactic vibe. I see what they were going for and trying to sort of make Moxley look
like a monster,
very hard to put down.
It almost felt like overkill.
Yeah,
I understand that, and you know, I would have rather a big spot into the match, but it's fine. I mean, they had already they did the Meltzer driver on the outside on the ring entrance, so
that was pretty solid.
The Casino Battle Royale is next, and I'm not going to go over the whole thing because holy crap. But I will tell you that
Go ahead.
Okay. I will tell you that Platinum Max, frickin' 10, and the Varsity Blondes, of course the big stars, but those guys, really over. Evil Uno, huge pop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge pop. And of course everyone expects Matt Hardy, Christian Cage, those guys to get big pops. Jungle Boy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, what a win.
Well deserved. Beyond deserved.
Yeah, might have been the biggest pop of the night. I think the biggest pop I heard all weekend, because we went to all three shows, was when Jungle Boy came out during Dark Elevation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people went absolutely nuts for this guy.
It wasn't even that big a crowd.
Yeah.
But yeah, Saturday night, that was a big pop. People were very excited.
This whole match, and I'm a sucker for Battle Royals, but I love this match. The ending was fun. So basically, Matt Hardy said, hey, I've got Private Party, and they're going to guarantee me a win. So basically, the final three were Matt Hardy, Christian Cage, and Jungle Boy. And Matt's like, oh, me and you, Christian, you know, we've got history. We will take out Jungle Boy. And Christian's like, of course. And then Matt Hardy turns his back and immediately gets eliminated. So that's great. Christian and Jungle Boy fought back and forth for a solid 3 or 4 minutes, I think. And Jungle Boy had this cool thing where he was on the apron and then kind of whipped himself around the corner like a literal Tarzan boy. And it was cool. He eliminated Christian. Christian got back in the ring as Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt are celebrating with Jungle Boy. He's pushing on his chest. He's yelling at him. He's making gestures like the belt. So you're thinking, uh-oh, we're going to have a Christian Hill turn already?
Nope.
And then he grabs him and hugs him and says, you know what? This is your moment. Make the most of it. And turns around and walks away. Yeah, Jungle Boy is one of AEW's future stars. And I want to know what you guys think. Of course, I want to know your opinion of the match. But I also want to know your opinion on how AEW does things different than TNA. Because TNA used to bring in WWE guys like Orlando Jordan or Matt Morgan and just have them destroy everybody. Where I think AEW has done a very good job of making former WWE guys elevate their current stars. What do you guys think of that? And Aiden, I'll let you go first.
I think they do a good job. The biggest thing I think that is different, exactly like you said, is that usually they, like TNA, would bring in the ex-WWE guys and basically just rocket strap them.
Yeah.
And it ended up where you had a lot of talent that basically got buried by guys who had kind of already had their moment in the sun.
Right.
And I think AEW, with the guys that they're bringing in that are former WWE, that are those long-term guys like Matt Hardy, Christian Cage, they've had their moment in the sun, and they're using them to kind of help elevate other talent. But also, they're bringing in the ex-WWE guys who really didn't get their moment in the sun, which you know, obviously touch on the Miro, but they're taking those guys and giving them that push that they really should have gotten.
Yeah, Brody was that guy too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Brody was one of those guys that I said for years was just like, why aren't they doing more with this guy? Every match I watched him, I was just like, he is so good. Why did they have him just being a background character? Right. But no, I absolutely think that's exactly what it is they're elevating the guys who didn't get a chance to get elevated, and they're using the guys who already had that moment. They're using them to bring up new talent, and I think that's one of the biggest gripes they have with WWE is they're not elevating new talent, and it's hard to make a star when you're just letting people go by the wayside.
Agreed. What do you think, Alex?
Well, to start with the casino battle royal real quick, enjoyed it. A lot of fun. I enjoy the way that they format their match, the battle royal.
What did you think of the Joker, by the way? I forgot to mention that. Leo Rush.
Leo Rush, right. I'll say this. I enjoy his work as long as he sells.
Right.
Being a smaller guy, I tell big dudes all the time, like, listen, man, you don't have to kill me. I'll sell for you. And then guys like Leo Rush come around and do some stuff like that. And it's like, man, you just, that guy's going to want to have to slam me now.
Yeah.
but to the point of sort of AEW's difference, I think that their main difference is they don't strap a rocket to anybody.
Yeah.
Tony Khan has a closet full of jetpacks and says, hey guys, if you want one, here. And he sort of allows everybody the chance to make themselves a star, to work at that, to come out the curtain and make that impression. You know, shows like AEW Dark and Elevate, you know, Elevate's still new, but it gives not only the people on the show a chance to sort of step out and try to capture that stardom moment or that it factor that people cling to. But it also gives people from the independents a chance to come in and work and shine as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys that are coming in that are doing these semi squash matches, if you will, because you know, somebody who's on the AEW roster is going to win over somebody who's having their debut match.
Sure.
But even still, they don't bury these guys. Right. They still look like competitors, which in turn makes your stars look that much more like stars.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to spread that wealth out as far as they can with people and make everyone feel legitimate. And I think that's one thing that a lot of these other companies don't do, WWE included.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree. Now, honey, how special was it to be there?
No. Before you say anything.
Okay.
I have to make sure that everybody knows how exciting it was to see Christian's debut match on Double or Nothing. Because we've never seen Christian on AEW before, and it was very exciting to see him there.
This is our first time, right, guys?
Yes.
Never seen Christian AEW. Like, I need you two to confirm this. First time Christian Cage is in AEW. This is his debut, right?
Yeah, his actual, like, physical debut. He came out on the stage and said some words, but that's the first time he's come out with his boots on, ready to work, so.
We've never seen him ever. Ever. So I missed his debut. We were there. 5-hour pay-per-view, and I picked the wrong 5 minutes to go to the bathroom. And I listened from in the bathroom while the crowd blew up, and I said, that's Christian. And it was devastating. So
gotta hold it. Gotta hold it.
Terrible. It will never happen again. And the thing is, I knew it was going to be him. We were discussing who it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's going to be Christian. And I was right. Anyways.
Yep.
That's been said.
So I'm so glad you were there.
I couldn't be on that review show because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it. So
I'm so glad you got to be there for Christian's debut.
There's been some distance, some time. I've healed.
It's been great.
But I was really excited that it came down to Jungle Boy and Christian. That was really cool.
Yeah.
The way it ended, it was great. This was really, really
cool.
The
pop, that feeling with the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's something special. Yeah. Jungle Boy's something special. He's going to be around for years. We're going to have Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, MJF. Those guys are going to be main eventing just them in 5 years. You know, when Christian and Jericho and Sting all have to hang it up. Like, they're absolutely going to be doing it.
But the thing is, I think AEW is doing is, it's important, is that when it's time for those old heads to hang up their boots, they're going to have people that can fill those places, that can take that mantle and go.
Right. I think one of the problems I have with WWE right now is they do such a poor job of building new stars. You know, I mean, they did an amazing job with McIntyre, but it's been very the number of stars they've built since the Shield has been very limited, and I think AEW does a good job of preparing for the future while working well within the present. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. USA versus UK is next, and we've got Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson. Luckily, Cody didn't come out with literally everyone he's ever met. I have to say that on Dynamite, I know we didn't review Dynamite because we didn't have time, but when Anthony Agogo comes out with his like four guys, and Paul White was like, are you scared? You got to bring your posse. And then Cody Rhodes comes out with literally everyone he's ever met in his entire life. Might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was so good. But Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson versus Anthony Agogo with QT Marshall. Now, let me ask you guys, did y'all actually see the Cody Rhodes promo?
I did not.
I was just curious.
I saw the memes, but not the promo itself.
I was curious of your take on it, because a lot of people said it was nationalist. I didn't feel that way, but I was just curious to know. That's all right. The match. Now, Anthony Agogo has been training for, I believe, 18 months. And this is his first actual wrestling match. I believe, Alex, it's your turn to go first. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty solid. I mean,
the frog splash was great, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Super clean. But I mean, he's such a natural athlete, you know, and I think a lot of people that come from these very serious athletic backgrounds and that take their craft seriously, when they come to wrestling and they take it seriously, they do great things. Can I say that this is one of the first times that somebody has come out and had a believable punch that could knock someone out?
Oh yeah.
And it and the punch looks good too. You know, the work punch still looks good, and I genuinely enjoyed it. There were moments where it was like, okay, Ogogo could actually take this. Like,
yeah. Aiden, do you agree? You feel the same way?
Absolutely. I don't even know how to expand on that.
Yeah.
That was pretty much spot on, I think, this match.
Do you guys feel, as actual in-ring workers, because a lot of people online were very upset that Cody went over. Cody, the, 20-year veteran over the guy that ever had his first match he's ever had. So do you agree that Cody winning is the right call, or should they have built a new star here?
You can build a new star and have somebody lose.
Right?
I think that's the biggest thing that people don't realize. So for people who listen in the Florida area who are aware of who John Davis is.
He's awesome.
John Davis gave me one of my biggest builds as being legitimate. We did a show here in Georgia at Wild Adventures, and he and I wrestled each other. And when I'm telling you, he killed me. I took, I believe it was 9 or 10 chops throughout the match. He threw me around the ring like a rag doll, but he still gave me opportunity after opportunity to look like I still had fight in me. And at the end of the match, when he walked out, I literally just grabbed the ropes and pulled myself up slowly. But when I'm telling you that the pop that I got after losing was bigger than the pop that I got walking out in a place that I had been, you know, Valdosta being like my hometown, and there was a lot of people there who already knew me, who had been to shows by that promotion before, I got a bigger pop losing than I did walking through that curtain, because he made me look legitimate. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because I am a believer, like, yes, wins and losses matter, but at the same time, it's a matter of what you do with the losses that really matters. Because you can have anybody go on an undefeated streak, and that only means so much. It only goes so far. But if you can have somebody who can lose and still look like $1 million losing, that's how you build a star. So absolutely, putting Cody over is absolutely the right choice. And I think that dude's got a bright, bright future in front of him, because he lost, but he looked like $1 million losing.
Yeah. And I think he's going to get his win back. I mean, they are going to have a tag match this Friday, so I don't think this feud is over. I think he'll probably wind up winning the feud, but Cody won in the U.S. versus U.K. match in Florida. So there you go. It's very likely the situation. Now, honey, you're a huge Cody Rhodes fan.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the guys? Is Cody winning the right call?
I mean, you set it up as America versus UK. And
right.
As you said, it is Florida. So, I mean, they painted themselves into that corner, I think.
Right.
So, but I thought Cody, you know, he came out very modest, very understated. Very subtle.
So my wife and my little brother's wife always argue over who is less extra, Cody Rhodes or Kenny Omega. So
less is Cody all the way.
Kenny, he came out with 40,000 people to his weigh-in.
Kenny's got cool costumes. I wouldn't necessarily say that's extra. Cody definitely has like an air of.
Dressed as Jasmine from Disney's Aladdin. I'm just saying. Kenny.
What?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And he has what? Cheerleaders. Kenny has his own cheerleaders.
He does.
His own.
I think Kenny's definitely more extra, but they're neck and neck in competition as far as extra. They're going extra in two different directions.
That's very fair.
Oh my gosh. Cody won with a vertebraker, which was cool. He didn't win with the Crossroads or the Figure Four. So I thought it was nice to see him win with something else. Ogogo tucked his chin way too early and straightened out his legs. But you know what? He's new, man. This is his first match. People are giving him a hard time for it. It's fine. He looked great.
It's better to tuck his chin early than throwing his head back.
Yes.
You know, only in Ellsworth doing the opposite of what he should have done.
Yep.
Almost died. So yes. I'm going to give him props for doing exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yep, totally cool with it. Miro versus Lance Archer.
Ooh, wait.
And other than Lance Archer's botch at the very beginning, like, they murdered each other. And it was fun. Yeah. I absolutely loved this. Jake the Snake did not come out at the beginning because he was attacked the day before at the Fan Fest. But he came out with his snake, supposedly. And Rusev, Miro, takes it from him and just yeets it up the ramp.
I literally saw that and was just like, Damien, no!
It was just so good. And, like, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. Like, I've been really hot or cold with Rusev. I've never been on board with him 100%. Like, I wasn't really watching WWE during the big Rusev Day stuff. And, like, I hated the ending of his WWE career with the weird Bobby Lashley Lana stuff. Like, super weird. Hated it.
Terrible.
I love his character now. And, like, sure, they brought him in and it was a little weird. And everyone's like, ah, AEW also doesn't know how to handle Miro. And I'm like, you can't just bring in him and have him murder everybody. Like, he can't come in and just beat everyone. That's not the way it works. Do you want to make your homegrown stars look dumb? You don't want to do that to someone who was, unfortunately, but was really a mid-carder in your biggest competition. Do you want to have him come in and murder everybody? So, no. So, I thought the way they've done it so far has been really well. I enjoyed this match. I like big hoss matches. Miro won with referee stoppage, basically. Like, I think Archer went out, right?
He passed out.
Yeah.
Yes, so, he did.
Yeah. Whole match was dope. Do you guys agree?
I thought it was a great match. Can I say that I know commentary said something about it. You guys wouldn't have heard it. But Excalibur said something about that. I don't know if I've seen anybody manhandle Miro the way that Archer did.
Yeah.
And I can say that I agree to that. Like, not even over with his WWE stuff did anybody manhandle him that way. Like, the choke slam, Archer brought him all the way up over the back of his head.
It looked awesome.
It was so fantastic. Good. But yep. It, like you said, it's just one of those big hoss matches. You get spots like that. You get those moments. And, yeah, I thought it was a fantastic, hard-hitting match.
What do you think, Aiden?
Same. I don't even know how to expand on that. Like, I agree with the just absolutely manhandling Miro was just, I think that was definitely the right way to go, but it's the same thing we're coming back to about, you know, building a star through a loss.
Yeah.
You know, like, Lance Archer still looked like a monster.
He sure
absolute
did.
Monster. And I'm going to reiterate once again that the throwing the snake thing was amazing.
It was so hilarious. And him on Twitter afterwards, he's like, bring PETA, Peter Pan. I don't care. I'm going to yeet it. So good.
So good.
Honey, what do you think about Miro's direction? Are they going in the right way?
I do. I think so. I think we were like, oh, Miro, it's Rusev's hair. This is so exciting. And then it was a little lackluster for a while.
With then, the Walt Disney shirts and the blonde hair.
Yeah. And then they tried, you know, the angle with, you know, Kip and the best man and Chuck Taylor and all this stuff. And that was all fine, but it wasn't great. But I almost feel like that it's good because it kind of led us to this point where Miro is like, I'm done. No more of this nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fight people. And so that's good. Like we did something with it. And now this is kind of what people want to see, I think. This is what people wanted. I don't know, speak for everybody, but I feel like that's what this is what I was looking for. So
yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So Sheeta and Britt Baker.
Now, honey, what a match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let you comment on this first, but Britt Baker, now Sheeta got tons of chance. She was very well loved. But the pop Britt got and the chances she got were almost deafening.
Mm-hmm.
Is absolutely insane. I don't know if you saw, but her parents were in the front row and wearing their DMD shirts. It's pretty cool to see. So what did you think of this one?
So this was good. We talked about it before that it was kind of a shame because we felt like your champion was not getting as much attention from the crowd, from the fans, as your challenger,
mm-hmm.
who is like the heel. So it was, you know, we were like kind of feel bad for Sheeta, but it's just kind of the way it's worked out.
Yeah.
Like Britt is just huge.
Yeah.
Like she's just really over. And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of a shame, but not shame for her. I don't know how to explain it. It's just,
I think what you're trying to say is Sheeta carried the belt for an entire year.
You just kind of want to see more behind her, like more fans behind her. And I don't think they weren't, like, I just think Britt's really hot.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot.
And after the match was over, it was a gigantic thank you Sheeta chant.
Yes. So, yeah.
I think people were ready for the change, but still really love Sheeta.
Yeah. So, and I think we gave Sheeta a chance to, you know, kind of bite back a little bit and have, you know, a few moments where you're like, oh, is this a heel turn? So that was cool. Yeah, I can't speak much to the match because I'm bad at that. I'm really just here to go, I like Britt Baker. I like Eddie Kingston. That's why I'm here. So that's my two cents. You guys give us more.
Now, guys, tell me this. I thought this match is very New Japan-esque. I didn't see this live, but after rewatching it back, these girls were forearming the crap out of each other.
Yes.
Like, absolutely destroyed. Like, when I was watching it live, I'm like, oh, yes. They're really putting something behind it. But after watching it zoomed in, I'm like, holy crap. Like, how did they not get busted open? It's insane.
Safe spaces. Yeah. Safe spaces. That's it. Like, when Aiden and I wrestled each other, like, that's what it was. I mean, we had a situation very similar to that forearm where we just went in and threw. And there's something about, there's something that makes it easier for people to suspend their disbelief when they see your skin ripple from a hit.
Right.
And I feel like with what we do, you know, learning how to do it and how to do it properly, that's what allows you to be able to do stuff like that and not get busted open. Or when you want to get busted open, it makes it easy to do that as well.
Yeah.
You know where to hit to do that. So I absolutely love the fact that these women came out and just absolutely beat the brakes off of each other. It definitely gives an air of credibility to them that we aren't in the era of, you know, like you said, the era of like bra and panty matches and, you know, stuff like that going on with women's wrestling. Like, they are just as legit as the guys are.
Yeah. Sheeta had awesome new white gear. Britt Baker had that Scott Hall Razor Ramon blood gear.
Oh, that looks so good.
So good.
It was amazing. You want to add anything, Aiden?
No, it was just... That's the thing when Alex goes first, man, is like he so just speaks pretty much everything that I think and just speaks it so much better.
It's my eloquence.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, no, I mean... Like I said, the shots were just believable. And I think that's the biggest thing that my biggest gripe with women's wrestling, even in recent time, has been the fact that things just look too staged.
Yeah.
And this match and the shots and every move and every bump and every sell, I was definitely taken back, being like a couple times where I was like, is she okay? Like, is she okay? Because there's sometimes it's just the selling is so good and the moves are just executed so perfectly that, if you can make me, somebody who has been behind the curtain and been inside the ring, stop and go, oh, wow. Like, like make me believe that something is like real and going on, like, then hats off.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's dope. All right. Sting's first match back in 6 years. I'm a gigantic Sting mark. Actually, before we do that, after Britt Baker won, Tony Schiavone hugged her on the ramp and I thought it was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sting and Darby Allin versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I will be completely honest with you guys, and I don't know if you'll disagree or not. I still haven't bought into Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky as a tag team. I love them both individually, and I love them in their other groups. I think they're freaking awesome. I still am not sure I've bought into them as a tag team. Then this match happened, and I think I'm in. I think I'm all in. Sting is amazing. He jumped off the freaking poker chips at 62 years old, guys.
After taking a bump outside the ring.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, one of my buddies he had a code like, red. Yeah, he did.
At 62.
I know. One of my buddies was like, yeah, people were wondering if Sting was going to take him a take a bump. So the first one he takes is on the stage. I'm like, yeah, I guess that just kind of puts it over. He did everything in this match. He did the Stinger splashes. Of course, he did his version of the woo. He beat his chest. He did the Scorpion Deathlock. He won, beat Scorpio Sky with the Scorpion Death Drop. This match had everything I ever wanted. 10-year-old Matt was marking out so hard. I literally lost my voice in this match. I loved it. Now, honey, as someone that hasn't really watched Sting for her whole life, what did you think of this 62-year-old man?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, so we had a friend there who has watched wrestling and has been to wrestling shows, but she's not currently following wrestling. And she was like, I mean, this is fun. You can't not have fun because everybody's enjoying it. Everybody here in the room is having so much fun watching what's happening. And if you appreciate the fact that a 62-year-old man is out here doing all this crazy stuff, you know, keeping up with Darby, who is crazy.
Right.
I mean, Darby throws himself around like he has nothing to lose. So that's great. It was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, Aiden, give me a rundown of the match. What'd you think? Good?
Absolutely. I will say that watching Darby and Sting wrestle is terrifying,
right?
For the same reasons. They're both throwing themselves around, and Darby's doing all of these insane dives, and if I remember correctly, at some point he literally gets, I don't know if he gets thrown or what happened, he went way out over the ring into the crowd.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's dead.
It was the Spike Dudley spot.
Yep.
Yeah. Ethan Page tossed him out.
Yep. And that's just, it's like, he's dead. But then again, I thought the same thing as soon as Sting's first bump that we see is on the ramp. I'm like, yep, nah, he's dead. I felt like pretty much after every single spot the two of them did, I was just like, nope, they're dead. Rest in peace. Is that just done?
I remember going to a TNA show. I think it was in 2005 or 2006. Sting wrestling, and me and everyone in that crowd chanting, "You still got it." That was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we did the same thing on Sunday. Yeah. It's nuts.
Same chant on Sunday.
The fact that he's able to wrestle anymore is astounding, let alone wrestling to the capacity that he showed on Double or Nothing. Straight up, just... it's astounding because you see a lot of, you know, old timers when they take that career ending move.
Yeah.
And they come back to wrestle a match. You know, it's like going and watching, you know, Flair wrestle, you know, when Flair did his stint in TNA. It was like, yeah, it's cool to watch Flair wrestle, but you don't still got it, you know?
Right.
But seeing Sting come back from that injury and go out there and do so well. And I cannot emphasize how just clean he was all night. It's like you don't expect that. You expected him to come out and, you know, like you said, hit all the spots, the splashes, the chest beating. But for him to do some of the stuff he did was I wasn't expecting it at all. I was expecting him to just be there to basically just help get Darby over, and 100% still firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they did a great job of protecting him, too, because Darby took most of the offense in the match, but Sting still definitely took some bumps. Like, it was really well done, well thought out to protect the 62-year-old man who wanted to show that he himself. Still has it. Yeah.
I mean, the psychology is there. If I'm for instance, Nightmare Syndicate wrestles Sting and Darby Allin, I'll reassure you, I don't want Sting in the ring.
Right.
He's got the experience. He's got the knowledge. You know what I mean? If we're talking, you know, in an athletic sport, like, he's, for one, the bigger guy in the tag team. He's got more experience. So why would I want him to get in the ring? He's the last person I want. He's a multiple time world champion, you know? No, I'm good.
No, I totally get it. I saw on Twitter the other day someone was complaining because the New Day didn't want AJ Styles, multiple time world champion, to tag into Omos. And I'm like, have you seen Omos? Like, he's like 7 feet tall. Would you want to stand across the ring from him? Or would you rather stand across from the 5'11" guy that you might be able to out wrestle? Well, come on. What do you think?
I don't want to go against the 7 foot tall guy. He's going to grab me from his corner while I'm standing in the middle of the ring, and I'm not going to be able to do anything about it.
He doesn't have to be a good wrestler at that point. He's a tree.
Right.
But again, going back to this and kind of piggybacking off what Alex said, is the same concept. It's like, why would you want to bring in the guy who's got the experience, who's got more size? Yeah. Like, yeah, he's older, but that's just more time that he, I mean, Gandalf's old, but you still don't want to fight Gandalf. Like,
no,
that's kind of the whole thought that I'm going through.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. 1,000%. This match also ruled. I don't know if we had a stinker on the whole show. It was great. Sting pinned Scorpio Sky, I think I've already said, with a Scorpion Death Drop. I loved it. Young Matty was happy. Old Matty was happy. Yes, it was terrific. Kenny Omega, with the person who I think got the loudest boos of the night, Don Callis.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think anyone has ever been so happy to have 5,500 people chanting F-U and their name. Then he was smirking so, but he was so happy. He loved it. Pac and Orange Cassidy, also in this triple threat match. And they were not an afterthought, boy.
No.
Mm-mm. It was my favorite spot in the match, and I don't know if you guys agree, but it was when Orange Cassidy was up top, he was fighting Kenny to get his hands in his pockets, and he finally gets them, so Kenny can't German suplex him off the top. Then Pac comes, German suplexes Kenny off the top. Kenny does a backflip, and Pac just sits on the corner, or excuse me, Orange Cassidy sits in the corner with his hands in his pockets. It was so good. And the thing I love about Orange Cassidy, and I'll see if you guys agree with me, the thing I love about Orange Cassidy, he is an absolutely stupendous wrestler, but his character is so unique. You don't see people like him anymore. And I know that he has a comedy bit, and some people don't like it, but I really dig it. And, honey, I want to ask you first, like, what do you think of Orange Cassidy? Like, obviously, he's in there with Kenny Omega, who owns four belts, and Pac, who is a murderer. I didn't think he was out of place. Like, I was afraid that he would be out of place, but I thought it worked really well.
I would say the same. I thought the same thing, but definitely not. Yeah. And I think we had some friends there who weren't really following AEW, so they keep leaning over to me like, what is happening? Who is this guy? What is freshly squeezed? What is with the pockets? And I'm like, this is the shtick. Like, it's the whole thing. And it's funny because we went from, he didn't used to wrestle.
Yeah.
With AEW. He does the kicks, lackluster shin kicks, hands in the pockets, and throws himself off the top rope with his hands in his pockets, which is cool, but it's not, he wasn't wrestling.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he is, and then it's cool in this match because he's cool and he's kind of sloth-like for a little bit, and then something snaps.
Yeah.
And he's, all of a sudden he's a switch has flipped. And so I like that moment.
I agree. Thought it was good. Alex, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely thought at more than one occasion that Kenny was going to lose.
Yeah.
Which is always great to feel like your champion is fighting.
Right.
There were so many different moments that just stood out, like you had mentioned, the hands in the pockets and the sort of gimmicky fun that he has. To anybody that says that comedy bits take away, the most important thing in wrestling is to be remembered.
Yeah.
You want people to remember you. So no matter what it is, if people remember you, if people are talking about you, if people are coming back to the next show and paying to see you, what does it matter? I say props to him because he's learned how to make a career and take a third of the bumps that I have in 5 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there were, yeah, there were so many moments where it was just like, especially for Cassidy, where it was just like, wow, he might actually win. When Don got up from commentary and ran out to intervene, it was like, oh, things have gotten real.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Gallows and Anderson tried to come out and help. And Frank Kazarian beat up Anderson. Gallows got thrown out by security. Actual security guards, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really cool, really cool scene. And, like, I was convinced that there's no way Kenny Omega's losing, but there was still a couple moments in this match mm-hmm. where you get that split second, maybe, and that's something that AEW does really yeah. well, I think. What do you think, Aiden?
Yeah, kind of going off of the Orange Cassidy conversation is like, I mean, I remember watching bits of this guy back when he was on the Indies, you know, yeah. and all of the crazy stuff he was doing, such a solid worker, and just his in-ring work was amazing, and he was getting that same good indie pop, but when he stopped and started doing the comedy stuff, it's like all of a sudden he was getting more over than anybody. And I'm sorry, but if I could turn around and make a comedy shtick that, you mean I don't have to actually do anything? I can just keep my hands in my pockets and just mm-hmm. like half-heartedly kick this guy, and the crowd's gonna go nuts as if I just hit him with a code red, or you know, just did a suicide 450 suicide dive. Like, you know, why would you not do something like that? And
right,
I think it's so great to watch him because he so flawlessly goes and transitions between being the comedy wrestler to being such a phenomenal wrestler, and flawlessly back and forth. That just, words don't have them because it's it's amazing. But yeah, no, I was absolutely in the boat that I really thought Kenny was going to lose on many, many occasions. And the finish kind of came up out of nowhere. I felt a little cheated by the finish. It was because it was kind of a roll up, and we kind of go back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, you have all these big spots and then you get a roll up finish, and it's just kind of like, oh
yeah.
But the match was still insanely entertaining.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I'd almost disagree and say that that's how you do a roll up finish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's how, if you're going to do a roll up, that's how you do it. But it's, I still felt cheated by it.
I understand. And I think part of that is because WWE does 17 roll ups a show. And so you just don't want to see them at any other time. I thought it was well done. But at the same time, I would have rather a one winged angel finish the match. So I know where you're coming from. Mark Henry was announced as the new coach and announcer for AEW's Friday night show Rampage. So, cool. I like Mark Henry. We all like Mark Henry, World's Strongest Man, Sexual Chocolate, as people like to call him.
Indeed. That's where I grew up knowing Mark Henry.
Yeah. See, we watched him as the World's Strongest Man, and Carol's like, I love him. And I'm like, yeah, he's the dad to the hand. And she's like, what are you talking about? So I think I actually showed that to you, didn't I?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I blocked it from memory.
Anthony. His name is Anthony.
The Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. Stadium Stampede 2. So there is no way to cover everything. So I'm going to try to do everything in 90 seconds or less, okay?
Okay.
Chris Jericho, they all come out, Chris, and the Inner Circle comes down this,
rappelling.
Rappelling off of the Jaguars Stadium, side of Jaguar Stadium. They all fight and they go their separate ways. They don't do a lot of fighting on the actual field this time. Jericho and MJF fight forever. There were a couple spots. One, MJF used a megaphone, which really popped me. He literally just grabbed a megaphone instead of hitting MJF with it. He turns around and just yells, ah! And it was terrific. I loved it. Coach Urban Meyer and Coach Charlie Strong, I believe it was.
We don't say his name. We don't speak his name.
They were there, and Jericho and MGF fought in that in the coach's room. They fought many, many other places. Sean Spears and Sammy Guevara fought. Sean Spears was in like this chair room. It was really interesting. Jake Hager and Wardlow basically killed each other. Like, Wardlow attempted murder in this match. He took an icicle, like a giant pick, and tried to stab Jake Hager with it like it was freaking Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Down a wall.
Mm-hmm. FTR and Santana and Ortiz fought in what can only be described as the club from Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. Conan was there, so that was also great. Inner Circle basically got a clean sweep. They all won. After all the pre-recorded stuff finished, Jericho and MJF come out. And literally right next to us, Jericho powerbombs MJF into this box that was sitting there the entire show.
Yeah.
And no one was like, that box looks fake.
Yeah, the section that they came out was the section we were sitting in.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. So we got up there. We were in the kind of the third level up there. And there was nothing in front of us. It was roped off, but it's been roped off for a year because they have lights set up there. So we didn't think anything about it. But yeah, there was a conspicuous box that no one paid any attention to.
And I will tell you that during this match, I said, Sammy Guevara needs to be on a golf cart.
Yes.
And it happened. He ran over Sean Spears. They got into the ring. Sammy Guevara hit his, I believe, 630.
Yes.
630.
Yep.
630 centon.
Beat Sean Spears, and the Inner Circle do not have to break up. I loved everything about this match. I am a sucker for this kind of stuff. Also, we had a powerbomb literally right next to me. It was awesome. I marked out, absolutely. Sweetheart, I'm sure they will have a lot to say, so I will let you open. What did you think?
Everything was great. I loved everything. I loved the humor. I love the fierceness. There was a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So here's what some other people get wrong about these backstage fights. When you go out of the ring and you go and you do these cinematic backstage fights, I've seen other people do it in other companies. And it's like they're trying to draw it out and make it long and weary. And everybody in the two fighting are, you know, exhausted and they're just kind of grabbing something and, like, you know, sort of lazily threat, but there was none of that. Everybody was totally on fire, like going full blast the whole time. And MJF and Jericho just grabbing everything at hand and chucking it at each other. That was what was funny. These items that you can't, that aren't hurting. I mean, over time, you hit somebody with a plastic trash can enough times, it's going to hurt. But just picking up and chucking it at somebody, it bounces. It's funny. Like, it's funny because of the fierceness, the anger behind the throwing. And so it was great. I mean, Jake Hager has come a long way. Mm-hmm. Like, we've heard him on the mic tonight. I don't know if that was aired. Was that aired?
After it was, they released it on their YouTube.
Okay. It was, I mean, he's just gotten a lot better. And I love that Sammy got the win. Like, that was awesome. And of course, the golf cart, I wore my Run Sammy Run shirt.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Cash Wheeler was chucking wine bottles at, I believe it was Ortiz. I can't remember.
I think it was Ortiz.
And they were breaking.
Yeah. And that was ridiculous.
Yeah. This whole match was great.
Yeah. It was all good. Yeah. I could keep talking.
It was just funny enough, right? Like, it was because last year's match was really funny, so you wanted some sort of humor in this.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overbearing humor, I don't think. Aiden, do you agree?
Absolutely. I always get nervous with the cinematic backstage brawls.
Yeah.
Just because... Yeah, you do get to that point where it's kind of like, all right, come on, like, get on with it.
Right.
But I think definitely with as many guys as they had in this match, being able to spread it out the way they did was done really well. Some of the spots, like, you know, like you said, like throwing a trash can at somebody doesn't really hurt, but psychology-wise, it disorients. You know, if you take a megaphone and yell into someone's ear with a megaphone, it's going to disorient them.
Yeah.
I will say that I know you said earlier Don Callis got the biggest boos, maybe in the building, but at my house, seeing that coach appear. Got the biggest booze in my house.
Are you a Florida State fan?
No. We are a Georgia fan. We are University of Michigan fans, and he what? Yes, and he is Ohio State, of course, sorry. Yeah, he is. He coached that team for a long time and many dirty victories. So we don't like him. That definitely got the most booze in my house. But no, I think, and bringing up your point about the box, one thing I learned from my dad, because my dad spent time when he was younger, married to the daughter of a magician. So the one thing that he, you know, taught us when we were learning about, you know, the art of illusion is essentially getting the crowd to not notice the plants.
Right.
And yeah, obviously, like, you guys aren't expecting that box to get used as a thing. It's just a thing that's there. And you don't even notice it a lot of times because everything else that's going on, all of the magic is going on elsewhere. So you don't even notice that that's there. So I think that was, that's such a cool thing to hear from somebody who was actually, you guys physically being there and being like, we didn't even notice that this box had been there the entire time.
Right.
Right.
I definitely think Sammy specifically getting the pin was such a big deal for me as kind of sort of coming to the climax of like Sammy's redemption.
Right. Agreed.
So I absolutely feel like Sammy being the one to pick up that pin is just, that was icing on the cake for me as far as that match was concerned.
Awesome. What do you think, Alex?
I'm going to give an unpopular opinion. This was as enjoyable as it could have been for me.
Okay.
I think that it has an odd, I don't know. I feel like it has an odd place on the card. Like with its format, you almost feel like it has to be the main event. It has to close out the show, you know, and, for instance, with this match specifically, you know, when they play Judas at the end of the night, you know, the whole crowd's going to sing and it's going to be that good, that feel good moment that everybody has before they leave.
Yep.
So I understand that. But as far as the dynamics of what happened in the match, some of the moves, the atmosphere of it, I feel like by the time that we got to the Stadium Stampede, I was pooped.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
You said, there were no matches on this card that were stinkers. There was no match that it was like, okay, I go let the dogs out, or okay, I go to the bathroom, I'll refill my drink.
Yeah,
you know, I felt like I needed to be there for everything. Yeah. Every time I went to go move, it was like, oh wait, what's going on now? So by the time that we got there, I just felt wore out, and it just felt kind of dragging. I mean, it was enjoyable. It was fun for what it was, but like, I feel like I've seen so many of these sort of pre-taped gimmicky fights that are, you know, essentially like watching combat in a movie.
Right.
That is just, I don't know. It feels lackluster. I like watching wrestling in a ring.
That's fair. Speaking of in a movie, the John Wick fight director directed this, the backstage segments.
Oh, interesting.
So,
movie combat. I mean, which is essentially what we do, except much more scripted, and you can, you know, do a few more things that, oh well, we didn't really like how that looked, so we'll go back and fix it, that you can't do in the ring. I mean, you can, but then everybody knows.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I felt like these kind of matches, they just sort of wear on me after a while. I like watching wrestling in a ring.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And like, I love this kind of stuff, but I don't want to see it all the time. Like, if I saw it twice a year, I think I'm okay with it, you know? Like, have a Stadium Stampede because I love it and it's unique, and then something that Matt Hardy will do, and then that's enough. I don't need to see it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I do get what you're saying. I did love it, but I don't disagree with your thought process. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, all right. I'm going to put you on the spot, honey.
Okay.
I want you to tell me match of the night.
It's difficult because, as we've all said, there was so everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll fall back on my habit of the most recent thing is my favorite thing. Yeah. That's kind of my shtick. So I'll go with the Stadium Stampede. And okay. The reason being because I think being there, you paid money to come and sit and watch live wrestling.
Yeah.
And so we watched, I don't know, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
20 minutes?
Ballpark, yeah.
On a screen. Like we, you know. But I think they did a good job of helping us forget that we were watching a movie.
Yeah.
So I think that played a big role in it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Why not.
Aiden, match of the night.
Oh, I was kind of hoping you were going to go to Alex first. Oh, man.
Not today.
Man. That is actually really tough. I'm going to end up going with the triple threat. Just because it kind of comes back to it, really torn between the triple threat and the Sting Darby Allin tag match. And I'm going to go with the triple threat only because it comes back to what I was saying about Orange Cassidy being so good and his ability to transition from comedy to just the best worker out there to right back to comedy so flawlessly that it just really that just made it for me. But the Sting and Darby match was so neck and neck with that.
It's hard for me to pick two, so I understand. Alex.
For me, tag team guy. So I was sort of like torn between the two tag matches.
We lost.
But I feel like every match had its moments that I thoroughly enjoyed and my favorite parts of the night. But for me, the match of the night, I feel, was Darby Sting versus Paige and Scorpio, just because I feel like everybody really got something out of that match. Sting got to come out, hit all of his greatest hits. The crowd got to pop for that. Darby came out and showed why he is as good as he is, because he could take a beating and just keep going, keep pushing himself. But as well, like you had sort of touched on earlier, that, you know, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page didn't really feel like a tag team. Like, as individuals, they felt solid, but as a tag team, it was just kind of eh. And this match really helped cement that. Their work in it, they really worked like a tag team, you know, trying to cut that ring in half. And so I feel like, as far as the value that everybody got out of it, as far as workers are concerned, fans are concerned, I feel like it was the Sting Darby Allin versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky.
Okay. I'm going to go with Triple Threat as well. Stadium Stampede probably was my favorite match of the night, but I don't pick pre-recorded matches to be a match of the night. So I'm going to go with Triple Threat. Honestly, they were just all good, though. Like, if you ask me my worst match of the night, like, I could tell you what my opinion is, but the reality is, like, it was only the worst match because the others were all so good, right? So, I don't know. I don't think there was a stinker on the show. I thought it was very good. And speaking of that, we're going to grade AEW Double or Nothing. And, honey, would you like to grade first?
Yes.
Okay. What would you grade AEW Double or Nothing?
It's an ice cream sundae. But it's like the ice cream sundae.
Okay.
Right? So it's a scoop of Superman ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Scoop of Rocky Road.
Okay.
Scoop of cookies and cream.
Okay.
Topped with rainbow sprinkles. Hot fudge, not chocolate syrup. Hot fudge. Some gummy bears. 3 maraschino cherries. And finally, a tiny American flag.
Okay.
That's it. That's the grade.
That is the greatest grade I've ever heard. Guys, we're going to give it a letter grade.
Don't put them in a box.
Wait, we're not grading it with ice cream? I was sitting here in my head coming up with my fantastic Blizzard idea for the show.
Yeah. No. We have no boxes here.
Okay, fine. You know what? You can grade it however you want. Alex is aiding planes last time. I'm going to let you go first. How would you like to grade Double or Nothing?
You know, I It was genuinely a good show. There were a lot of fantastic matches. Like you said, there weren't really any stinkers on it. I feel like some of the matches went a little long for my taste. I'm somebody that, you know, 15 to 20, I can track, you know, getting to be 45, closer to an hour, gets harder. I feel like they have a lot more talent that they can showcase in the amount of time that they have. So overall, I would say it's like a B plus, solid B plus.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think, Aiden?
See, I was kind of going in the same vein. For me, I would have called it like an A minus, just because, like we said, there wasn't a stinker on the entire card. But I also feel like even as good as every match was, I don't feel like any match was really like that classic match. You know, like that, like, oh, this one's going to be talked about for years, you
know?
That's
fair. Cody and Dustin, Kenny and Hangman versus the Bucks. Okay.
Yeah, like there's just certain matches, like even in the short time that AEW's been around, there's already those matches that people are going to talk about for a long time.
Yeah.
And outside of like the cool moments of like Sting, you know, wrestling at the capacity that he did.
Yeah.
You know, there's like little like pieces of the show, like elements of the show, but I don't feel like any match really stood out. Everything was great, but nothing really stood out. Okay. And that long term like really sticking. So yeah, A minus.
And see, like, I can really respect that argument, because like I'm sitting over here and I'm looking through all the matches, and like there's not that match where I'm going to go back in a year and go, man, do you remember this specific thing at Double or Nothing? However, I'm a gigantic mark, and I thought it was the greatest show I've ever been to, and I'm going to give it an A+. And I will tell you that it's very likely because it was the first capacity crowd. You know, we've been to 20-something. We've been to all of them but two because we had COVID, so we had to skip those shows. So I just loved it so much, man. Like, I can't tell you. I cannot explain to you how much fun I had watching Sting wrestle live, you know, just singing Wild Thing with Mox. Just Riho's pop, man. Like, watching Jungle Boy get his actual win, like, I just loved it. I just loved it from start to finish. I was never bored. I was never frustrated. I was so happy. And that's all that I care about. So, I'm going to give the show an A+. I loved it. But I do absolutely respect y'all's take. I really do. Because a year from now, I'm still going to be talking about that Revolution tag match. I'm still going to be talking about Cody and Dustin, and I'm not sure there's anything on this card that I'm going to be like, man, remember this match because of this reason. So yes, it's totally fair. I get it. So let's talk about some social media as we are wrapping up our Double or Nothing episode. Aiden, tell us where we can find you.
I am on Facebook, okay. And Instagram, both under the tag of The Aiden Knight, THE Aiden Knight, on both, yeah, like I said, Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, cool. What about you, Alex?
You can find me on Facebook as Alexander Knight. Find me on Instagram at The Real Alex Knight. And you can also find, if you're interested, I do some cool painting and artwork and stuff. Check me out at facebook.com/nightmarecustoms. That's spelled with a K. And you can also check me out on Instagram, nightmare_customs.
And the paint jobs are amazing. I know it's like, you know, there's that like, oh, he's my brother, I'm going to blow it up. But for real, like, when I started painting miniatures, I was like, okay. And I sent him one miniature to paint. And from there, he has pretty much painted, I think to this point, you've painted all but two of my PC minis, like my character minis, since you started painting. Like, all but two of them he's painted. He painted my miniature that I used for Strahd. it's good stuff. Good stuff. And I know you, Matt, got some as well.
Oh, man. So he printed some for me, and he painted this giant angel who is talking to one of my characters in my game right now. And it is so dope. Like, it just looks so freaking cool. Like, he does such a great job. So make sure, obviously, follow their wrestling accounts. This is a wrestling podcast. I know that's why you're all here. But if you like Dungeons & Dragons, definitely check out Nightmare Customs, because he does an amazing job. Like, legit. Carrie, nice. B-dubs, Carol, sweet love of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we find you online?
Instagram and YouTube is Carolsen, all one word, CarolSennn. And on Wattpad, it's Daisy Jane, which is DaisyJayne. And I have one work in progress on there. And if I can stop writing and start posting, I will be putting up some D&D stuff on there soon.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. So, ladies and germs, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at WrestleLifeMatt. Follow us all on Instagram and Facebook at WrestleLife Radio, and on Twitter at WrestleLifePod. Ladies and gentlemen, we very much appreciate you. My sweet love, my sweet Carrie. And of course, my good buddies, Aiden and Alex Knight, the Nightmare Syndicate. We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much for hanging out. Like, I know this episode is a little longer than I told you it would be, and I had an absolute blast, and I hope you did too.
I didn't even realize that it had gone as long as it did until I looked
at it. I know, right?
Because it's been, the conversation's just been so good. And
yeah.
Yeah. No, I always, any time, I will absolutely make time for this podcast, because this is good stuff.
I appreciate it, man.
It's fun.
Yeah. We always have fun with you guys. Always do. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you all have a great day. We hope you all have a great night. We hope you all have an absolutely wonderful rest of your week.